drenching cover that does not cradle a hidden comfort, no coolness that does not dissolve the fever of some anonymous brow. If the object of our attention exists at all, then it cannot help but be inhabited, not densely, not teeming, but sparsely, here and there along the edges, and just a little in the middle. Their presence is betrayed by the sleepy hairs that drowse along the clearings, their small size and languid way of life easily guessed at. They do not bargain with God, nor do they know how to count. And counting here means not only the skill of numbers, which in itself would be no small achievement, but also the habit of measuring kindness by the promise of proportionate reward. The sleepy hares possess ears, of course, and everything else that a hare should have, but they are exempt from being born and from dying, from aging and from illness, for all of these belong to the restless expectation of reward, and they themselves live outside that anticipation. Their habitation, though tender and without claim, never strays beyond the forest's uncertain perimeter, as though they were born not into the heart of things, but into the slender region where one world ends and another only begins to dream of itself. It is there, on the borderland between stillness and whatever follows stillness, that they settle, and having once found their patch of moss or low fern, they do not wander. Perhaps their love for margins, their devotion to thresholds, finds its cause in the deep roaming bears, those heavy, slow-souled presences that inhabit the darker layers of the forest breath. These are not the hare's enemies, exactly, but they are disturbers, always nosing, shifting, rustling with their massive thoughtlessness. Never cruel, but always unaware, as though made from a different kind of sleep. A sleep without gentleness. It is their restless rummaging, their half-conscious movements through shadow and undergrowth, that prevents the hares from surrendering entirely to their drowsy eternity. And presiding over all of this, neither high above nor apart, but diffused gently through root and branch and air, is the same God who governs the known world. Yet on this planet of quiet blankets and wandering trees, he lingers longer. He does not command, nor chide, nor intrude with visions or thunder. Instead, he seeps, imperceptibly without footfall or voice, into the breathing of leaves, into the slow warmth exhaled by grasses at dusk. One does not encounter him directly, one breathes him in. His nearness resembles absence, save for the moment when he brushes against the earthworms, who, being the only creatures in that place given to disorder, wriggle and startle and remind the still world that even here, mischief must occasionally stir. Perhaps this is why he is so often away from the rest of creation, why his absence is felt more keenly than his presence. For while others beg, count, barter, and ache in the noise of waiting, he walks unseen beneath leaves, pausing only when the worms break the hush. Meanwhile, humans continue to scavenge meaning from the dull glitter of trifles, clutching at crumbs of significance, laboring beneath the terrible weight of reward promised and delayed, falling ill with longing, and at last escaping, like frightened animals, into imagined refuges where their suffering might be recognized as real. The hares, however, have no particular need for speech. Their silence is not ignorance but completion. Long ago, perhaps before the trees had reached their full height, they spoke, briefly, clearly, and for the last time. Since then, their ears have done the rest. For what is language to those whose hearing penetrates to the marrow of rustles? Each stir of wind, each brushing of a fern against its neighbor, each fall of a petal, cleaves into their minds with such precision that no word can improve upon it. They listen once and understand entirely. There is no forgetting. One rustle is enough to hold a lifetime of meaning, and so they continue, not dumb but beyond speaking, not alone but past the need for greeting, resting along the edge of the forest where nothing is asked and nothing is lost. Gold and communal comforts are unknown on the green Jupiter. By some delicate law written not in tablets nor fire but in very fibers of its air, such things remain forever foreign. No vault exists, no gleaming hoards, no tables set for many. The planet, in its deep contentment, refuses both the glitter of possession and the noise of community. Yet it would be false to suppose it barren or indifferent. Beneath its quiet canopy lies a hidden, steady force, born of the planet's vast and dreaming mass. A gravity, not only physical but moral, one might say, which exerts peculiar and harmonious effects on matter and mind alike.